Welcome to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. It is the first Thursday of the month, September 4th. This is episode 24. I have an in-studio guest. We're going to have hot mics all day, so Shaney might be doing some heavy breathing over there. It's my sister, Shaney.
Hello.
Welcome. So I talked about on my last show that this show is going to be all about corn because I have a weird corn obsession. I don't even know when this started, but I got the idea from the show, for the show, from talking to my daughter. I was telling her how I hate peeling corn, you know, husking corn, whatever you call it. But I said it reminded me of when we were little. My mom would go to Mollyette's Market in Tiffin, Ohio, and bring home a bunch of corn. And it was like we peeled it all, even though we weren't going to eat it all that day. And we would stand out by the trash and peel it. And I would always take the silk and put it on my sister's head and say that it matched her hair. And I don't think you have to think too hard to know that she freaking hated that. And then we'd be throwing the silk, and it was like, whatever, husking the corn, chucking the corn. Whatever. What's it called?
Husking.
Husking the corn was just a terrible chore. So I don't like doing that now, but when my husband buys corn, he doesn't like to buy it pre-peeled. He likes us to peel it. And when I say us, I mean he likes me to peel it. I don't know. It's a thing that happens at our house. Anyways, so this show is all about corn. And to start, like I like to start a lot of my shows, I have some research. So Shaney has a hot mic in case she has any comments about my research. Let me tell you the history of corn. 9,000 years ago in southern Mexico, indigenous peoples began selectively breeding a wild grass called teosinte. T-E-O-S-I-N-T-E. I think it's teosinte. Sounds like it. Over centuries, they transformed its small, hard kernels into the plump, nutritious cobs we recognize as corn, or maize, M-A-I-Z-E, not to be confused with the corn maize, M-A-Z-E. I added that part. By around 5000 BCE, maize had spread north and south, becoming a staple in Mesoamerica and eventually throughout the Americas. Corn wasn't just food, it was culture. That's how I feel about it. And spirituality. Amen. Many native nations, from the Mayans and Aztecs to the Iroquois, and Pueblo peoples, wove corn into myths, ceremonies, and daily lives. The three sisters of agriculture are corn, beans, and squash. This agricultural system became widespread. The corn stalks supported the bean vines, the beans supported and added nitrogen to the soil, and squash covered the ground to keep the weeds down. So those are the three sisters of agriculture, in case you didn't know. When Europeans arrived in the late 15th and early 16th century, they encountered maize everywhere, from Mexico and the Caribbean to North America. Spanish explorers carried it back to Europe, where it spread rapidly across the continent, into Africa and Asia. By the 17th century, corn had become a global crop. Native peoples taught early colonists how to grow and use corn, saving many from starvation. Cornmeal became a dietary staple in colonial households. Unlike wheat, which was harder to grow, corn thrived in North American soil. Corn was also essential as livestock feed, fueling both farming and expansion westward. By the 19th century, corn was central to American culture, agriculture. The invention of mechanical reapers and planters increased yields. Who invented the mechanical reaper?
I don't know.
I don't either. I know the cotton gin was cotton gin. No, I made that up. mechanical reaper, it feels like that was something we learned in school.
I'm sure it was.
All right. Corn fed not only people, but also hogs, cattle, and horses, making it vital to the U.S. economy. Whiskey distilleries, especially corn whiskey and bourbon, also fueled the demand. Hybrid corn varieties developed in the early 20s and 30s revolutionized yields. Farmers began producing more per acre than ever before. By the mid-20th century, U.S. corn became a global commodity. Today, the U.S. is the world's largest producer of corn, much of it not directly for food, but for animal feed, high fructose corn syrup, boo, ethanol fuel, and processed foods. Boo. Corn remains both a symbol of indigenous resilience and a cornerstone of the American economy. In short, corn began as a wild grass in Mexico, was shaped into a staple by indigenous peoples, sustained early settlers, and evolved into the world's most produced crop, feeding people, animals, industries, and economies worldwide. Now, high fructose corn syrup. What? Ooh. How did that come to be? So I looked that up too. Yeah, you'll hear that for sure. High fructose corn syrup came out of the mid-20th century food science in the United States and Japan. In the 1950s, American researchers learned how to use enzymes to break down cornstarch into glucose. The big breakthrough came in 1965 when Japanese scientist Yoshiyuki Takasaki and his colleagues developed an enzyme, glucose acemerase, that could convert glucose into fructose, which is sweeter. This made it possible to mass produce a syrup that was both cheap and very sweet. The process was licensed internationally. In the late 60s, the Clinton Corn Processing Company in Iowa, later part of Archer Daniels Midland, built the first U.S. plant producing high fructose corn syrup in 1967. Can you believe it's been around that long?
But it wasn't as widely used.
Hey, don't jump over my research. I'm not there yet.
Sorry.
By the 1970s, companies like Arthur Daniels Midland and Cargill scaled it up, making high fructose corn syrup a cost-effective alternative to cane or beet sugar, especially after U.S. sugar tariffs and corn subsidies tilted the market. Soft drink makers like Coca-Cola and Pepsi began switching from sugar to high fructose corn syrup in the 80s. By the 90s, high fructose corn syrup was in everything from sodas to ketchup to bread. The addiction begins. So while no single person invented high fructose corn syrup, it was the Japanese scientist's enzyme breakthrough in 1965 combined with the U.S. agribusiness scaling in 1970s that created the sweetener we know today. Yeah, it sweetened the pots of a lot of companies. There are several reasons why high fructose corn syrup took over in the U.S. The first reason, the corn subsidies. Since the 1970s, U.S. foreign policy has heavily subsidized corn production. That made corn and corn-derived products like high fructose corn syrup very cheap for food manufacturers. Secondly, sugar tariffs and import quotas at the same time the U.S. put tariffs and quotas on imported cane sugar and beet sugar. This kept sugar prices artificially high in the U.S. compared to global markets. Food companies turned to high fructose corn syrup as a cheaper domestic sweetener. And the third reason is agribusiness giants Archer Daniels Midland and Cargill invested heavily in high fructose corn syrup plants. By the 1980s, Coca-Cola and Pepsi reformulated their sodas to use high fructose corn syrup instead of sugar. Europe, however, did not follow our lead. They have a different subsidy system. The European Union subsidized sugar and beet production rather than corn. This kept sugar prices relatively stable and competitive compared to high fructose corn syrup. There are also production caps on high fructose corn syrup. The European Union actually capped production of high fructose corn syrup to only a small fraction of total sweetener output. This protected European sugar and beet farmers. European consumers and regulators were more cautious about new food additives, so sugar retained its cultural place in baking, confectionery, and drinks. As a result, high fructose corn syrup became the dominant sweetener in sodas, processed foods, and condiments by the late 20th century in America. However, in Europe, sugar remained dominant. High fructose corn syrup is used, but in much smaller amounts. Other regions followed whichever system their trade and subsidies favored. Asia, for example, uses both sugar and high fructose corn syrup, depending on local economies. So, in short, Europe is better, and America poisons its food.
Amen.
Amen. And agribusiness has a huge lobby. So they're lobbying Congress all the time to keep this control so that we use high fructose corn syrup in everything. And I think we've known for a long time, you know, that this creates kind of an addiction you know, with the way it's processed in your body. So people think, oh, I'm just going to have a piece of bread or whatever, but there's high fructose corn syrup in everything. So it's just an impure way of making food, adding this silly thing. I did hear that our current president is talking about putting regular sugar back in the sodas, and for some reason, you know, this is like so exciting, which I guess because it's sugar, but we're the number one producers of corn in the world. So I don't know. It's kind of like, look over here. Don't look there. Wait a second. Look here. It's a distraction. Just a distraction. But I think if you're drinking soda, it doesn't matter what's in it. Soda's not good for you. And that is the history of corn. So, Shani.
Yes.
We have a game we're going to play. Okay. You know, when you're in college and they put those things on the bulletin board and you like tear off if you want to get a ride to Texas or, you know, tear off.
The telephone number.
Yeah, the telephone number.
Which is so outdated now.
But so outdated. Well, I made one of those and cut the little tear offs. And we're going to tear off types of corn, and then it's blind, so they're upside down. So whichever one you get, you have to talk about.
You want me to tear one?
Yeah, you get to go first. Because you're my guest. What'd you get?
I got digesting it.
Oh, the worst one!
Well, it was sticking up.
I know. So you have to talk about what happens, how we digest corn. I should have done research on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, but you know that it looks the same going in as coming out.
Yes, it does.
How is that possible?
I don't know. But it definitely does.
Like, what is that about corn that... I mean, are we getting any nutrients from it at all? Is it just an empty food? And if it's so fibrous and good for our guts, why does it look the same?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's why I eat more popcorn than regular corn. So I don't have that issue when I digest it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so. That's our first tear off.
Okay.
I'm going to grab the short one and tear this off. And it says... roasted corn. So for me, roasted corn is when you peel the corn in your kitchen and put it all in the trash, and you take the corn cob and you put olive oil on it and salt and pepper and some Parmesan, a little bit of smoky paprika, and then you wrap it in foil and you go roast it on the barbecue. But some people roast their corn in the husk.
Yes.
But like, how would you get any flavor in it if you did it that way?
Butter.
Afterwards.
Yes.
After you take it off the barbecue and it's boiling hot, and you have to peel off the cut that husk.
There's some patience involved.
Yeah, it seems labor intensive. And I am, as we know, born to be lazy. Okay, let's see what's next. Isn't this fun?
Yeah. Corn tortilla.
Okay.
Now, the tortilla or the chip?
Yeah, I don't even know if I put... corn tortilla chips. You can talk about both.
Okay. Since I'm gluten-free, I like the corn tortillas a lot.
You would choose that at any Mexican restaurant. What kind of tortillas do you want?
Corn. Yeah. No matter what.
No matter what.
Although it's hard to get that with enchiladas. And enchiladas are my go-to.
Because they fall apart.
Yeah.
So you gotta eat the flour tortillas and pretend like you're not gluten-free.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at least we know how you're handling your health. It's a little bit of denial. It's a little bit of not today.
I'm asymptomatic.
That's right. It only shows up in blood work.
That's right.
No symptoms, just a little blood work. All right, I'm going to take this one. It's another short side. Oh, this is just a corn saying, knee high by the 4th of July.
Yes.
Which I think is a Midwest thing, or wherever they grow corn.
Yes.
Which I think is mostly in the Midwest.
Yeah.
That was like a measurement of how well the crop was doing if it was knee high by the 4th of July, which always seemed like that made total sense. But that was at a time when you got out of school, like the first or second week in June. So like the crops were just starting to grow. Now kids get out the end of May and it seems like knee high by the 4th of July is way too late in the season.
Yeah.
For corn to be only that short.
Well, it does grow very quickly once it gets knee high. But I remember... that being a saying from my favorite show ever, MASH, because in an episode they were growing corn. Don't know how successful it was, but they were saying knee high by the 4th of July.
That was in Korea?
In Korea. Yeah, I don't know how successful it was. But
they probably had a good climate for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, since it was in California.
Yeah, because it was filmed in California.
Yeah. But I remember being out in Ohio and running through cornfields.
Yeah.
And thinking, it must have been higher. That's just a saying.
Yeah.
Because probably back in the day, it was knee-high by the 4th of July, and then the engineers got into it and made it grow faster.
Probably, yeah. I remember running through cornfields in Wisconsin.
Ohio, the Zimmermans had them.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
They had just a small little corn patch.
It was enough for me to run through it.
Yeah.
I was small and little
back then.
You were young,
yeah.
Okay.
What'd you get?
I got masa.
Oh, so the only reason I have that is because Carla at the office said, you know, she started telling me the story about them, you know, grinding the corn down and making the masa to make the tortillas.
Mm-hmm. And the tamales.
Tamales. She said tamales, not tortillas. But you can make tortillas out of it too, I guess. Corn.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I wrote that. That was just a nod to Carla.
Yeah. And I love some tortillas. I mean, some
tamales. I know.
So good.
So good. Remember we used to have that guy that used to bring him to the office all the time? Mm-hmm. Where is that guy? Who is that guy?
It was his sister. Yeah. We just want his sister. I can hook you up.
Okay. You can?
Yeah.
Because the guy still works for us?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Who is he? Give him a shout out.
I want to say it's Jeever, but I'm not positive.
Mm. I thought it was Andres.
No, it's definitely not Andres. Okay.
The one who has his finger cut off?
Yeah, that's Jeever.
Oh! I didn't know that was his name.
Yeah.
I call him Andres.
He doesn't respond.
No, he doesn't, because that's not his name. That's not my name. That's not my name. Okay. Oh, no, I was just going to tell the story about we have in here Korn, the band, which I don't know who listens to this band, and it begins with a K. It's not real Korn. But I asked Shani, I tasked her with finding one song by Korn. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the fact that she found a Korn song because her husband is a headbanger. He's a member of the Headbangers Ball. He's a real hard rocker, which if you know Anthony, you think, well, that doesn't track. And when I met Anthony, he was like into raves and that kind of stuff. Like that was the music that he liked. And I don't even know what kind of music that is.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what they play at raves. Just like they got a DJ and they just rave. But he likes hard rock music too. So I downloaded the Korn song, K-O-R-N. And I think it was Kevin Tishburn that said, what about Korn the band?
Yes.
The song is Freak on a Leash. It says it's explicit. Hopefully the FCC is not listening to my show. Sometimes they do, you know, randomly. Okay, here's Freak on a Leash by Korn.
Takes a part of me, something lost and never seen. Every time I start to believe, something's raped and taken from me, life's gotta always be messing with me. Can't it chill and let me be free? Can't I take away all this pain? I try to every night, all in vain, in vain. Sometimes I cannot take this place. Sometimes it's my life I can't taste. Sometimes I cannot feel my face.
what kind of radio station would they play that song on? I don't think I've ever heard it. I've seen people go to see Korn in concert, and I think to myself, why? But you seem to think it might be a 90s song.
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to do a little radio business because why not? Today, I have underwriters 4 and 5. It's going to be a surprise to all of us. Here we go.
Cows thanks Molesbury Market for their underwriting support. Established in 1959, they are family-owned, located in the old Redwood Highway in the Larkfield Center. Their website, molesburymarket.com. Molesbury Market tunes into the roots of rock every Sunday morning at 7 on Cows Community Radio.
Cows is underwritten in part by the Occidental Community Council. The council strives to meet the unmet needs of the Occidental area, and the public is invited to its meetings every third Saturday of the month at 10:30 a.m. at the Occidental Community Center in downtown Occidental. We thank Mac Daddy Repairs for their ongoing support. They are a West County computer and phone repair center featuring on-site and remote support. They're located at 301 North Main Street in Sebastopol and can be reached by email at support@macdaddyrepairs.com or by phone at 707-861-9403.
Cows thanks North Coast Solar for their ongoing support. North Coast Solar has been supplying residential and commercial businesses with solar power since 1984. Their website, ncsr.com, contains information about how to improve energy reliability. They can be reached at 707-575-3999. North Coast.
I didn't mean to cut that short. Sorry, but I wanted to say that the first underwriter that I played, that was MJ reading about Molesbury's Market. He has obviously the voice for radio. I like listening to his radio voice. It's really cool. He actually talks like that in real life. So we have two things to read. One's a current event and one's a public service announcement. Shaney's going to read the PSA.
The California Bluegrass Association has been dedicated to the preservation of bluegrass, gospel, and old-time music since 1975, sponsoring concerts and music camps throughout California. They have been a longtime supporter of Cows Radio, and we encourage you to get involved in their mission. For more information, they can be reached at 310-207-5114. You can also find out more about them online at cbaweb.org.
Very good. Shaney, your volume's a little low, so you might have to get closer to your...
Okay.
There you go. Better. Okay, I'm going to do the current event, which is, it expires on September 12th. I think I read about this the last time, but it's just part of the hot rotation. It's called 7 Minutes Max Storytelling, returns to the OCA, Occidental Community Association, on Friday, September 12th at 7 p.m. Stories teach us about life, about ourselves, and about each other. Join in the fun for an evening of 7 live stories told in 7 minutes or less. Hilarious or sublime, poignant and personal tales told through the ancient oral tradition of storytelling. This evening will be sure to move, delight, and intrigue you. September's theme is school. For mature audiences only. Interested storytellers will have a chance to throw their name in the hat to present their story. Remember, no notes and 7 minutes max. Find out more by calling 707-874-9392 or visiting the OCA webpage, OccidentalCenterForTheArts.org. So if I was going to do 7 minutes on school, I don't know. Would I do 7 minutes on the first day of school, where for the first seven grades of my oldest daughter's life, she cried the first day of school? Not because she was sad. I think she was so happy to be at school, but just like her anxiety would be overwhelming and she would cry. Or would I talk about going to school in Arizona and it was in the, you know, 1980, let's say 79, 80, and candy shoes were in style. And, you know, those slip-on shoes with the little heel. And the way that I walked, kind of pronated on my feet, like the edge of the heel would get down to like that piece of metal that was inside the heel, the nail or whatever. And one day I was walking down the hall and I had this cute little skirt outfit on and my candies. And I had hosiery on with my candies. And my foot slipped on that metal. And I literally was like, I slipped on a banana peel in a comedy show and went airborne, landed right on my back and my booty. My books went everywhere. And I was new to the school. And not a single person stopped to help me with my stuff. It was like they all just walked around me. Now, if I would have been in Tiffin and that would have happened, how many people do you think would have helped me?
Every single person.
Yeah. Like, it's crap, those people in Tucson, Arizona.
Come on now.
Okay. Whew. Down. Okay, we're back to our game. We got some more peel-offs to do.
All right.
I really hope you get popcorn. She's choosing.
Cornmeal.
Cornmeal.
I got nothing to say about cornmeal. I mean, people use it for cooking, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, don't you put it on your pizza pan?
Oh.
Like for your dough, yeah. So it doesn't...
People who cook might do that.
Yeah. Shani can't speak to cooking. Although she does have a degree in hotel restaurant management. She did work at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
And she said she could only cook in like a 5,000 degree oven or some crazy talk.
Yeah. It needs to be. And I need to have prep workers.
Yeah. She needs a staff if she's going to cook. Otherwise, she just makes popcorn. Thus the popcorn.
Amen.
Okay. I have Corn Husker. What team is that?
Iowa?
No, Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Oh, you're right, Nebraska. Oh, gosh, that's horrible of me.
That is. Your family's going to be embarrassed if they listen to the show, since you're such a college football aficionado.
Yeah, but Nebraska.
The Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
They must have big corn crops in Nebraska. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
They're probably. It's kind of the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how big is the Midwest exactly? Can we get a map?
It's weird because I don't feel like Ohio is Midwest.
You feel like it's the East?
It's way closer to the East, but it's called the Midwest.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not the center of the country.
No.
But, I mean, do you consider Kansas the Midwest?
Yes.
But I feel like it's like South, the Southwest. It's on the border.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to consult a map between now and... The 12th of never. I think it's my turn. No, it's Cornhusker.
Right.
We just both talked about it.
Corn salsa.
Corn salsa.
I don't know what corn salsa is.
It's regular salsa with corn added.
Oh. Well, anything's good with corn added.
Yeah, I mean, no, I like to put corn in my salsa.
Yes.
It's a little crunch to go with the tomato, to go with the cilantro.
Yes.
Those flavors mix well. Okay, mine is a corny joke, which I think is probably knock-knock jokes.
Probably.
Like, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
moo. See what I mean? Corny.
Good one.
Okay. I thought of that this morning, that I would do that knock-knock joke.
Okay.
See, the radio show is always on my mind.
Yeah.
I'm so devoted.
Sweet corn. Which... I feel like all of it's sweet corn.
Yeah, but is it white corn or yellow corn? Which one's sweeter?
I think white corn.
Yeah, that's weird. I think yellow corn.
Do you?
But I just think yellow corn is fluffier. It's plumper.
Well, it is fluffier.
So it seems sweeter to me.
But, I mean, what about purple?
I don't eat purple corn. That's for decorations.
You've never had it in anything?
I don't think so.
I'm sure you've been to a restaurant here that had something with purple.
I don't really think so. I've only seen it dried, like for table decorations around Thanksgiving.
No.
When you make your cornucopia. I should have put cornucopia on there.
Oh,
damn it.
Missed it.
Missed opportunity.
Well, the best sweet corn I ever had was in Fresno.
Okay.
At a restaurant there. We went like 3 days in a row because I loved their corn. And I was like, this corn is so good, going on and on. And the waiter said, yeah, we get it from Fresno State University because they have...
like a farming
They department. Have farmers there. Yeah, they have a whole agricultural department.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So the third day we went, they're like, yeah, we're out of it.
Can you guys get out of our restaurant? Stop eating all our corn?
Yeah. We can only get it, you know, for a certain period and then it's gone.
And how was it served? Like on the cob?
No, it was just... it was in a dish. I can't remember what was with it, but it was so good. Yeah, it was just...
love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I got cornbread, and I love cornbread. I always make cornbread with chili. But the best cornbread is homemade cornbread made in a cast iron skillet on the stovetop. My mother-in-law makes it like that.
She doesn't use the Jiffy.
No. No, that's what I use. Or Krusty's or one of those.
Yeah. Jiffy's. Probably, olden days.
Probably not hard to make, but she makes it homemade, and it's so good. Much like her pineapple upside down cake, which she also makes in the skillet.
Yeah, I bet there's some cornmeal in it, you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably the base. I doubt she's pounding her corn into masa and then making it cornmeal. I'll have to ask her. Cornbread, I mean.
Yeah. Cornstarch. Yeah. Again, another, this is a cooking thing.
Yeah. What do you use cornstarch for? As a thickener?
Yes, but I don't. I don't know what I would.
Yeah.
Again, not my wheelhouse.
Maybe if you made pudding, you need cornstarch. I don't know.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Okay. I said I have street corn, so I'm obsessed with street corn. Here we call it Mexican street corn, but I don't know if that's racist or not. But anyways. There's a place that's called Fruta, and they have, like, these little fruit popsicles, but they made street corn. And it was right by the car wash, and when I would go to the car wash, I'd say to my daughters, I really want some street corn, and they would walk over and get it for me. It comes in, like, a white styrofoam container. It's corn, you know, shaved off the cob, obviously, and it's probably, like, mayonnaise and butter and smoky paprika and salt and pepper and garlic mixed together, and you just eat it, like, with a spoon. Stop it. So when I moved my daughter to Texas a little bit ago, we went to this restaurant that had street corn, and it was so good. And I was like, we got to get some of this to go. So Grace, if you're listening, go down to that place and get the street corn. What was the name of the restaurant? I forget. But we were there. Who were there? Dorina was there, so it had to be close to your hotel. I mean, close to your apartment.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to try to find that out.
Does Fruta still do that?
I don't know. Is Fruta still around?
Yeah, it's still in the same place by the
over there by the car wash.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to buzz in there and see. I saw that there was a Fruta over by the Mary's Pizza on Marlowe and Piner.
Oh.
That's a new location. I should go in and see about the street corn.
I'm going to look.
Where else did I have Mexican street corn that was so good? I don't know, but it's just, oh, so good.
Popcorn.
She got it. The staple in her diet.
It is. Every Saturday and Sunday, I'll eat like very little all day and just make a big, huge kettle of popcorn. Don't look at me like that.
No, I'm looking like, okay, so how do you make it? What's your
olive
mechanism?
Oil?
Uh-huh.
And then it's a metal pan that has like the turning wheelie thing that you turn it.
Like a crank on the side?
Crank on the side.
Is it on the side or the top?
Well, the thing's on the top, but you turn it on the side.
Oh, you know, so your hand doesn't get hot.
Right. Well, and I do know how to wear the oven mitts.
Oh, okay. And then what do you put on your popcorn?
Then I put vegan butter.
Mm-hmm.
And
does that melt?
It does. It's harder to...
Do you pre-melt it or you just put it on the hot kernels?
Oh,
hot
no, corn? No, no. Melt it in the microwave.
Okay.
But, yeah, you got to be careful because you can't put it on, like, 1,000-watt
right.
in the microwave because it'll boil, kind of. And then I put lots of salt, not as much as you put, I don't think, but I put a lot of salt, nutritional yeast, maybe some collagen powder, because I have a lot of that, or protein powder, depending.
Does that change the taste?
Not if you put enough butter on, nothing, you know.
Nothing can get through. And what kind of butter are you using, salted or unsalted?
I'm using vegan.
Oh, you're using vegan. I forgot.
Yeah.
See, I passed right over that.
Yeah.
So my purists in my life will say vegan butter is great, but microwave is bad, because there's those people, you know.
Yeah. I get that, but...
She's like, that's splitting hairs. I'm just trying to get to the meal.
Exactly.
And that's what you live on all weekend.
For the most part.
And what's the toothpicking situation afterwards?
I don't have an issue.
No?
No. I mean, I might have a kernel get stuck every once in a while. But
a husk here and there.
But I use, not a husk.
The little...
The kernel. The skin.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? The skin.
I call them a husk, but yeah.
It's not a husk.
Okay.
I have a...
A toothpick.
No,
a water pick.
Water pick. Oh. I use my water pick with...
Yeah.
Do that.
I do love making popcorn on the stovetop. I try not... I actually use corn oil instead of olive oil, because olive oil has such a quick heat. You know, it gets hot real fast, and I don't like any burned kernels.
Well, that's why you get the wheelie.
Yeah, the cranking thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm scared to make it just like in a pot without... The turnstile, the turny thing.
I use Orville Redenbacher's popcorn. What kind do you use?
I use Orville Redenbacher's as well.
Yeah.
I'll do Pop Secret, but, you know, Orville.
Yeah.
Orville's the man.
He's the main guy. Yeah, we love popcorn. I mean, I found that now I don't make popcorn that often. I mean, I have to have a real hankering for it, because I just get the bagged kind.
Yeah.
There's good bagged kinds.
There are. But... Remember when we lived in Tucson and we would go to a movie and you and I would each get an extra large popcorn with butter and eat it all by ourselves. And they'd look at us like,
are you guys sharing?
No, we want to.
Yeah. They're like, are you getting some to take home? And then when they had free refills, I was like, just buy the large size. You don't need to get up out of your seat and miss the movie to go get a refill.
Right. No, back when Lee was in high school and he'd go to the movies, he would sometimes get the free refill and bring it home to me.
Oh, that's
gotta love that.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine us eating all of that like that, because I know it wasn't the only thing we ate all day. It's crazy.
It might have been.
Well, it might have. I guess it could have been.
It could have been.
But we were going to like 11 o'clock a.m. movie, like the first movie showing of the day.
Yeah, we know how to start our day, right? With popcorn.
You're right.
So bagged popcorn.
Yes.
So I had an addiction to Boom Chicka Pop. Mm-hmm. It was an unhealthy addiction. I had to break it. So then I started doing Smart Pop.
Smart Pop, yep.
But I find that the white cheddar variety is just, oh my gosh, so on your hands.
Yes.
So now I'm eating Khloe Kardashian's popcorn. And she has protein powder on it, and it's like 7 grams of protein per serving, and there's like 4 servings in a bag. 1 serving in a bag if you're at my house.
Yeah, that's not 4 servings. I don't care what they say. And if they're going to say that, give me individual serving bags.
Yeah, give me a little bag.
Yeah, because I'm not going to just eat 1 serving out of a bag like that.
No, I eat it till the bag's gone.
Amen.
And usually it's during Young and the Restless, and I'm done by the time the show's over, so my consumption ratio is high.
Well, and if even Chloe's, if you get hers that has the white cheddar, you got it all over your hands.
No,
and I
know.
Think even more because of the protein powder.
Yeah, I think so. I like the olive oil and sea salt. Dorina accidentally bought the sweet one, like kettle corn, but I didn't like that at all. I don't really like sweet popcorn.
I don't either. Well,
my girls love kettle corn.
Yeah, I don't like kettle corn, but I do like a caramel corn. That stuff you and Mary used to bring from Chicago.
Oh, my God. That stuff winded me up in the hospital. Garrett's popcorn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
so good. So how good. Did that get you in the hospital?
Because I had diverticulitis from eating too much of it in the airport because my flight was delayed.
Right.
See what I mean? Blame Garrett's. Never blame yourself.
Exactly.
Okay, I got the next one, and mine's cornpone, which we already talked about this. I don't even really know what that is. What is cornpone?
I don't even know. Let me see what it looks like. I have no idea.
It's an old-fashioned word from the olden days.
Cornpone?
Yeah, we should look it up, because, I mean, how uninformed are you talking about corn? You don't know what cornpone is, because no one's ever heard of cornpone.
Yeah.
I mean, people have, and they're probably like, yeah. You know what? I think I did look it up, actually. It's like a little...
It's like a derogatory term for someone?
Well, here's the meaning. How about this? It is. It means unsophisticated.
Oh. Well,
But that's in slang. But it's kind of like a cornbread, but it's a little milkier.
Okay.
So it's more like, you know, instead of like a 3-minute egg, it's egg in a cup, where it's just like mushy. So cornpone is like mushy cornbread, I guess.
Okay.
Or if you want to call someone unsophisticated, you're such a cornpone.
I don't think I'll do that.
It doesn't seem mean, though, does it?
I'll be like, but do you have any? Do you have any corn? Call me what you want, but do you have any?
What you got?
Okay, I've got corn salsa again. I can't do corn salsa. What did you do? Did you
duplicate?
We're going with corn on the cob.
Okay.
I eat it side to side like a
typewriter.
Typewriter.
Yeah.
And that's the way I think you should.
And I used to eat it like that, but I was watching my daughter, and she literally picks up the cob and just took a bite out of the center of it. I was like, where are you going to go from there? So I decided to start eating it like around, like start at the far left side, let's say, and just eat all around, whatever the however big the bite is, and then move over and all around, kind of like in a spiral, I guess. But really the best way to eat it is to shave it off the cob and eat it with a spoon.
No, I think there's just something to it.
Yeah, talk about needing a toothpick. Jesus. All right, we've got a few left, but we got to get to our music. And I have a reading. So I have corn salad, creamed corn.
I'll eat creamed corn.
I hate it, but I heard sweet teas is really good. I have corn sweat, which I send this out to my friend Sandy because she's the first one that introduced me to corn sweat. You know, the corn plant, the way that it grows, it perspires.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally visible if you have like a cornfield. You can see the perspiration coming off the corn. And that kind of sweat that it causes people, like the corn sweat, it's like so oppressive. So it's a hot day. You're walking through your cornfield because you're a farmer. You got the sweat from the corn plus your own sweat. It's like toxic sweat.
Really?
Yeah. It's almost hard to breathe. I've never experienced it, but I've seen Sandy experience it. It's not good. And then my last one is popcorn lung, which is from eating too much microwave popcorn, but nobody does that anymore.
No, but I lived on that in my 20s.
You might have popcorn lung.
I probably do.
Gosh, I hope not.
I mean.
What else you got? Anything left? We had a corn maze, I see.
Corn maze, never done one.
Me neither.
Don't feel like I want to.
I'd be scared.
Yeah, it's that whole scary movie.
Yeah.
The
Children of the Corn?
No. The, you know, the guy with the, it's not a corn maze, but he's got the maze out front in the movie. It's an old movie. Scary. Here's Johnny.
Oh.
What's that?
I can't remember the name of that movie.
I can't either.
He had a labyrinth in front of his house.
Yes, he did. So it scares me about corn mazes.
Yeah, I could see that. My kids used to go to always take him to the pumpkin patch. And
there's a corn maze there.
Yeah.
You never went in it?
I don't think so. They might have gone with their class.
Okay.
And then they have a big thing of corn kernels, and the kids roll around in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, it's not good. Here's Johnny. What's the name of that?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I know. People are screaming it.
I know. They are. Everyone's screaming it. Okay, so I told Shani she could pick her favorite song, and we would play it. And what was your favorite song?
Are you kidding me?
No.
It's Brilliant Disguise.
No, I know what it is.
Oh.
So we're going to play Shani's favorite song, then we'll play my favorite song, then I'm going to do a reading that I found that I thought was kind of corny. Ha ha.
Thank you.
Times do you think we've heard him say that, sing that song in concert?
Me, probably like 15.
Yeah, but he doesn't always play it.
No, you're right.
And it's such a good song. So we're going to clean up some messes.
The Shining. It's The Shining. Thank you, Ed. And thank you, Google, because I looked it up immediately.
And we shouted it because yes. We were like, we're so stupid. How could we not think of that? I was thinking of Silence of the Lambs, and I knew that was wrong.
No. And Ed from the office came back with, it's called Esquite, and they do sell it at Fruta.
Oh, we got to go get down on some of that.
Well, and I go to that car wash every week. Well, usually my husband does, but I might actually tell him I'll go if I
could swoop in and get some Esquite.
Yes.
Esquite. Okay, so I have so many favorite songs, like countless, but I chose this one, and I was shocked that it wasn't in my playlist, because I do this thing on Sunday morning where I'm laying in the bed, and my husband gets up way before me, and I say, Alexa, play this song, and this is how I, like, wake up organically on a Sunday morning. I mean, not organically, because I was awake enough to tell Alexa what to do, but you get what I'm saying, and you're going to be shocked, but it's a great tunage from the old days.
Goodbye. Now it seems years.
That was Weekend in New England by Barry Manilow. I wanted to say something after Brilliant Disguise, because I write, when people graduate high school, I write this in their like graduation letter that I write to people, or note or card. I write the line from Brilliant Disguise that says, "God have mercy on the man who does what he's sure of," as kind of a thing, you know, don't live your life like that. Take risks.
Who doubts what he's sure of?
Who doubts what he's sure of? Not does. Yeah. And you know what? I wrote does on a few things. I checked the words. Who doubts what he's sure of? Like, you know, there are things that you're sure of, but you got to take risks. And I think when Bruce wrote this song, it was kind of a pivotal time in his life when he was ending his marriage to the Phillips girl and getting his life started with the new girl. Okay, I have a reading from my favorite book, Be Here Now, Finding Peace and Joy in the Present Moment. And I chose this because it's about corn. No, it's not about corn. It's called Nature Therapy, which, you know, corn is farm and farm is nature. But also because it talks to my wellness journey. And the thing about Weekend in New England, I used to do a lot of breath work to try to hold that note in the song. Anyways,
let's hear it.
I can't do it anymore because my lung capacity is low, low, low. Okay, nature therapy. It is a joy to realize that we can come home to ourselves and indeed heaven every time we reconnect with nature. Nature's therapies nourish our joy and awaken our senses, offering dazzling benefits that we may not even realize are readily available to us. In nature, we find comfort, solace, inspiration, and healing. Nature's therapies include activities such as earthing, placing our bare feet upon the earth and absorbing its energizing natural ions to ground us and support our well-being. Earthing or grounding, I talk about it all the time. Forest bathing, immersing ourselves in the luscious green life and healing depth of the forest. Ocean bathing, cleansing and rejuvenating in salt water, mindful walking, and even mindful sunbathing, all of which serve to awaken and enliven our bodies. Wear sunscreen, though. It is wordless. In its wordless, profound way, nature speaks to us, offering us the peace and comfort we can find ourselves seeking but not finding in so many other ways. Through acquiring things, distracting ourselves, or abandoning our present moment, in nature, we are called to be here now. Breathe in all that surrounds us. Notice details and immerse ourselves in the sensory experience that is our aliveness. Indeed, as living, breathing human beings, we are not separate to nature. We are part of nature. To harmonize with nature is to harmonize with ourselves and to reap the healing, fortifying, and nurturing benefits of coming home. Just love this book. It always has something good to say. So during the breaks when music was playing, Shani and I decided we need to have our own show. And I think there's an opening. She said the biggest problem would be we'd only be limited to 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we'd get off on the rails and then not ever come back to corn or whatever the topic happens to be.
Did you say what? Corn?
Corn. Mm. What did you think?
It sounded like you popped your pee there and I was like, say what now?
No.
Yeah, well, that is a problem. So, but mostly podcasts are 1 hour. Otherwise, you lose your audience.
True.
But yeah, I think we could do something. It could be called Off the Rails with Danny and Shani.
There you go.
Off the Rails with the sisters.
There you go.
Sisters, Off the Rails. I'm just spitballing here.
I see that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come up with it. It's going to be good. I'm back on the 18th. Next Thursday, I'm not here, but it is my 32nd wedding anniversary.
That's right.
33 years with my husband. We got married on the one-year anniversary of our first date. Everyone knows the story. Blah, blah, blah. True love always. But I'll be back on September 18th, and I don't even know what my topic will be. Maybe Shani and I will come up with something, and I'll drag her back into the studio. She got here before me. I was late today. I had to get blood draw. It's a whole thing. We can talk about that later. All right. Thanks for listening. This has been Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham, and my guest,
Shani,
was here in the studio with me. You're listening to KOWS LP 92.5 FM in Occidental, California, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com. we're out there. Plus, I have a Spotify channel, Level Up with Danny. You can listen to me tomorrow on Spotify. I'll get the show up there. Thanks for listening.